to the world. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28, man on a mission. Matthew's Gospel 28, man on a mission. Man on a mission. Are you there? Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto his disciples, right, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let's read verse 20 together. One, two, three, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. Now, so what's the instruction there? Go into the world and teach. Now, we said the word there, teach. Please, can someone help me close the windows there? I'm getting a little distracted with that sound. Is this stuffy? Did someone just open it because it's stuffy? Okay, that's fine. That's okay. Sorry, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. This is really cold, right? If you don't get it, forget about it. That's okay. So it wasn't open before, is that correct? Okay, thank you. That's fine. Sorry, I missed that. So it says, go into the world and what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. So the word they teach is the word that means to what? To train. Is that correct? Yeah, the word they teach means to train, right? And it means that when we come to church, the local church is a training center, right? The local church is God's will to train men on the earth. So when we come together, we come with an attitude of being trained, right? That is why when we come to church, the most important things that we should bring to our church, the most important thing that we'll take to the church, rather, should be your writing materials and your Bible. It's very important, right? Now we find ourselves in a generation where people just, you know, go to local churches as it were, whatever it is. But you see, you can have a practice. You hope you know that when we say these things about going to local church with your writing materials and your Bible, it's not about God's palace. It's about anywhere you find yourself in the world. Right, I can't imagine myself going to a local church, a church anywhere in the world, or a Christian meeting, and not having my Bible or my writing materials to take notes. Why? Because when we come to church, we expect and believe that God is about to speak to us, and God is speaking to us. In the next few weeks, I'll do a teaching. It's going to probably be a very short teaching, a short training, just before we're going to the teaching of that particular day, but it's going to be around how to take notes. Right? Because I think I've said I'm going to do it. I did something in passing, but I'm going to, you know, put some slides together, put a few things together to just guide us on how we can get ourselves to take notes. Because I realize that a lot of times, note-taking is not around or about writing the scripture that I mentioned. Are we together? Right? It's not about saying Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. The question is, what does it say? That's why I say a lot of times when we start teaching, I say Matthew's Gospel 28, for instance, or Mark 16, right? And or anywhere I start from, really. The next scripture I use, the truth is that as a student, you should be able to connect the dots in your notes. So you're not just writing Matthew's Gospel 28 and looking and listening, right? Then when they now say Mark 16, you write it again, you look, you listen. When they say Psalm 22, you write again, you look and listen. No, it's actually how do you connect the dots? I hope you know that if you see yourself as one who God counts on to be a discipler, you will take notes, you would write. Yeah, if you see yourself as one who God counts on, you will take notes, you will write. Let me say it differently. If you see yourself as one who should always be on a mission, are we together? You know, there are notes I've taken for years. I was in Nigeria a few weeks ago, you know, and I stumbled on some of my notes that I had taken from years. And one of the things that my parents did for me while growing up was to build that culture of note-taking, right? I asked some of my notes that the date I have on the writing there, 2006, 2005. You can imagine. Imagine me having notes of 2005. I'm seeing 2005. I'm seeing my topic. And you know, it's also interesting to see that the same way I write then is the same way I write today. Not the fonts, though. Right? Yeah. But the same way I used to write, the same structure, right? I'll write speaker. I'll write topic. I'll write text, right? Then I'll take my note, then I'll copy. So I have all those things piled up, and it's something I plan to show my children and my children's children, right? The truth is that all my notes, I can appear in front of any parliament, any ministry, any house of anything, either both assembly or disassembly, right? And just with my notes, and I'm able to communicate God's word. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying because I know certain things in my head, I can communicate God's word. I'm saying that there are certain meetings I've been in, and I'm able to reproduce or restate the things that were said in that meeting because I have my notes, right? So when you're taking notes, you have it in mind that somebody else will need what you are learning today. And we're together. Somebody else will need what you are learning today, right? It could be your children. It could be your parents. It could be your siblings. It could be your relatives. It could be your schoolmates, your colleagues. It could be anybody. But the truth is that because you are a man on a mission, somebody else needs what you are learning today. So it means that when you listen in the local church, you're not just listening for yourself. Hallelujah. Right? You are not just listening for yourself. You are listening for yourself and many others. Right? So one of the ways not to listen in local church is to listen intentionally because of others. Let me say that differently. To listen only because of others. You know, some of us study because we want to teach. Some of us study because we have a meeting, right? You know, it's just interesting how in the generation we find ourselves right now, people don't take the teaching of God's word as very serious. You know, when I was younger, right, how many of you have they asked to preach on the assembly or in a gathering or something? Actually to preach in the garden when you were younger, secondary school, primary school, just say, come and preach. Do you remember how you felt when you were about to preach? Do you know how many days it took you to prepare? I wasn't there, but I know that it took you days to prepare. Right? I know that it took you days to prepare. I can never forget the first time that I was asked to preach in secondary school then. I think that was just stood there about, right? And then Pastor Michael just called me and said, you're going to preach, because everyone knew my... The church was meeting in my school, right? So, interesting, right? The church was meeting in my school. So, when I closed school, I usually would be the first to be in church because I'm not going home. Everybody's coming to meet me in the school. You know, and I remember as a den, we used to have what we call a bacha, where we keep our instruments, right? Remember that we used to have a bacha quite a distance, you know? I've been in this thing for a while. So, we used to have a wheelbarrow, right? Remember? Wheelbarrow. I'll take a wheelbarrow. I'll put all the speakers, all the chairs inside. Let me try and describe the distance for you. The distance is as far as, let's say, the main roundabout. Yeah, the main roundabout that I stand here, all the way to this place, right? And I'll be the first one. I'll carry the batch. I'll carry the key. I'll unlock it. I'll put the speaker inside. Put the chair inside. How many chairs are they gathering in the church? The only one wheelbarrow will carry it. So I'll first put chairs, I'll first put, you know, and all those things. So because we're schooling there, my teachers already knew my father was a pastor. So it means much more expectation. So one day he just called me and said, I know you're going to preach to us today, preach, and you're going to get your notes ready. There was a church, Redeemed Christian Church of God, at the back of our school that had their property there. We used to use it for fellowship, right? I remember then shorts and then red tie. And I started studying. What I was studying, I can't remember. Did I preach that day? I know I preached. Were people blessed that day? I don't know if they were blessed, but I know that I preached altogether. And you know, the most important thing for me was that people I was preaching to, they were listening with a rapt attention, right? But what am I saying? That I'm trying to say that the effort in which I put into that, which a lot of us put into that when we were young, a lot of us nowadays, we just think that we should not put effort into it. We have two categories of people. People who don't put effort into their Christian faith, into their Christian life, or those who put effort on account of others alone. This is what I just said, right? So because I was going to teach, I was going to put in the effort, right? And trust me, that was the beginning of when I started making serious, deliberate, intentional effort in taking Bible study seriously, right? Then it was in 2009, in August 2009, I went for a meeting with in Abuja. There's a place called Economical Center, right? Pastor W.F. Kumuyi was ministering there. My dad took me for that meeting. You see, and that was the meeting, I think it was 1st of August 2009, I think. And that was the meeting where I made up my mind to dedicate my all to service and working and ensuring following Jesus as a ministry, as it were. Right? Was I born again before then? I was probably born again. Not probably. I was definitely born again before then. Right? Have I started preaching before then? Yes. But you see, that meeting, I still have my notes, the notes I took in that meeting. Right, the words that were said, and Pastor Kumi just finished preaching that. That was the day, right? So if we take my life and try to trace it back to the first time I decided I'd make a conscious effort to be, as an adult, not so much of an adult, but as someone who is aware, right? Aware of his environment, we would say, I want to follow and serve Jesus with all. It was in that meeting, and the notes that were in that meeting, I still had them. And I want to tell you something, that those notes even helped me as well in my ministerial life and even the ethics of ministry as well, going forward into university, right? What am I saying? I'm saying when we come together, there's a lot that is being observed. One of the ways you would learn, one of the things you will learn in a training center is the mode of teaching. I hope you know, there is the teaching and there is the mode. There is the mode of teaching, there is the teaching. There is the mode of teaching, there is the teaching. There is the mode of teaching, right? So you realize that, for instance, if you find your pastor, for instance, right, why do I give examples and share stories when I'm teaching, right? The truth remains that, right, it is to communicate or buttress a point. Are we together? See, the stories are all part of the teaching. Are we together? Right, the story. You know, it's very easy to just say no. Everything is just Greek word. Anything that I don't connect to any pastor that doesn't preach. I know, unfortunately. Now, should your stories be more than the teaching? No, your stories are to supplement. We're not in church to share stories. We're in church to learn the word, and stories will supplement it. Are we together? Right. But you know, in our generation right now, what people want to hear is story. I've not asked you a question. What are the videos or the content from churches that trend the most? Stories of pastors. Are they together? So it's a pastor. I remember a year plus ago, someone reached out to me and said, Pastor, you used to say a lot of things, very deep. We appreciate it too. But I think if we want our Instagram page to blow, is it not true? Is it not true? If we want our Instagram page to blow, Pastor, you know those stories used to, you know what this is? Used to add to the, that's the way they say it in Yoruba. yeah. The other stories you used to add, if you just push that story, yeah. But the truth remains that in those stories, it can support your growth, but the growth does not lie in the stories. Altogether, where does the growth lie? The growth lies in the teaching of the word. The teaching of the word is very important. The teaching of the word is very important. It's the most important. Every other thing is part of the training, right? It's part of the learning, right? But the truth remains that you need to have an attitude of one who should be trained, regardless of wherever you find yourself. So scripture says, go into the word and train. Now we said the word there, teaching in verse 20, means to observe. It says to observe, that's stereo. To attend to something carefully, to observe something carefully and deliberately, right? To pay attention to something intentionally, right? So that's what Jesus teaches in the kingdom. So what is it about the Christian faith? The Christian faith is a training center where people who are trained train other people. I'll say it again. The Christian faith has to do or deals with training center. Let me say that differently. Local church. We can say that about the local church. The local church or the Christian faith, anyone that floats your boat, right? The local church, right, is a training center where disciples are trained with the vision to train others. What is God's plan in the earth? God's plan in the earth is that all men are saved. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 quickly this evening. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 8. Romans 10, 8. But what said it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right? Look at John chapter 3. So, faith in the message is what makes you saved. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, that's the message, right? That he gave his only begotten son, that's his message, the message. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. right? Everlasting life. So a man that believes in the message of the gospel is one that has everlasting life, right? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, right? And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So what's the message of the gospel? Christ died for our sins. Or, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for our sins. Are we here? Yeah? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for our sins, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But something else you must take from that is the fact that, and be a preacher. Is that correct? And be a preacher. Go back to Romans 10 there. Romans chapter 10 there. Look at Romans 10 quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, this time around. For whosoever rather shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what? They have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So who are those that are sent? No? Okay, correct. Let's stay within the confines of Romans 10. Who are those that are sent? The preachers. Who are those that are the preachers? Those who believe. That's what it's here, right? So those who believe, so by believing, what has that made you? A preacher. By being a preacher, what does that come with? Being a believer, okay, but being a what? A sending. Is that not correct? Yeah, a sending, right? A sending, right? So every believer is sent. So let me ask a question. Look at the rhetorical question that has been asked then. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard about or heard? Right? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the preacher is for you to... Okay, you can listen to everyone. There is a preacher. The preacher preaches so that others can what? Hear. When they hear, what does that make them? Preachers as well, so that others may hear. Are we together? Right? Then the people that hear will become preachers. So it means that everybody in that cycle is sent. Altogether, everybody in that cycle is sent. Every single person is sent. So you are sent, I am sent. We are equally sent, right? We are both sent, right? So there's a sending that comes with the message of the gospel. So the message of the gospel is not just your sins are forgiven. It is your sins are forgiven. You are therefore a preacher. Altogether, your sins are forgiven. You are therefore a preacher. Your sins are forgiven. You are therefore a preacher. Or your sins are forgiven, you are therefore sent. You've been sent. You've been sent is an instruction. Yeah? So every morning you wake up reminding yourself that I am a preacher. All together. I'm a preacher. Can we say I'm a preacher of love? Is that correct? Yeah? I'm a preacher of what? Love. Right? If I told you I'm a preacher of war, what kind of war? The war that is won through love. She didn't get the first one. You have to get the second one. If you didn't still get it in now, go home. Yeah, you understand. Just pray to God. Right? So if at all you are going to be a preacher of war, the war you are preaching is the war of love. The one that Jesus won without lifting a finger at anyone. The one that Jesus won by surrendering his mind, his will, his intellect, his everything to be subdued by the darkness of life and yet rising through that in victory. So every believer is a preacher. Every believer has been sent. Yeah? So if I say, go and bring that chair for me, what does that mean? I'm sending you. So in my sending you, there's a message. There's an instruction. So Jesus says in Matthew 28, go into the world. And what? And can we say preach? Yeah? Can we say make disciples? Right? So why should you make disciples? Because you are sent. Because you are a preacher. So, which believer is called not to make disciples? Which believer, listen to what I'm about to say right now. You're about to speak about yourself, yeah, if that falls to you. Which believer will not make disciples? Okay, disobedient. Yeah, so if you finish that category, nobody here is still that category, obviously. Yeah, we all go out. Yeah, yeah. But can we say the disobedient believers are the ones that will not have disciples? Can we say the unserious? Can we say men who do not know they are on a mission? Are we together? So every disciple must be and should be a disciple. So as you are being trained, right, you should have others that are being trained by you. The question you should always ask yourself is, who is on this earth that can say, if they have another question about the Christian faith, they have your number, they reach out to you. You know, you just keep having those reviews. Who? Do you have somebody? Do you have two people? Do you have three people? Because the instruction says, go into the world and make disciples. So he says, how would they hear without being here, without there being a preacher? How would there be a preacher without there being sent? So have we sorted the sent part? The sent part is sorted yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Is that correct? The preacher part is sorted yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But the action to preach, the preaching part, is not sorted. Are we together? So who needs to make that deliberate intention? It is you, the believer, as yourself. That's what I say as a church. We make sure that at least, you know, before we used to do our evangelism on Saturday, I will shout. Come evangelism on Saturday. Everybody will say, okay, pastor, see you soon. See you on Saturday. See you on Saturday. Eventually, I'll go there Saturday. I'll be counting where two or three are gathered. Before you know, everybody will come. Oh, pastor, yesterday I couldn't make it. Oh, pastor, yesterday, you know. Oh, pastor. What do you decide as a church, right? Because it's a training center, you know, there's some things that the people who are training you have the ability to impose on you for your growth, for your help, for your good. All together, right? Training doesn't come at the comfort of what you feel. Training doesn't come from a language, this is how I like to be trained. This is me. Once you push me too much like this, Pastor, no, don't push me. Pastor, I like going at my pace. Pastor, just take it easy. Yeah? Are there people we take it easy with? Yes. Ideally, we should have different kinds of people in the local church. Right? But the truth is that, let us not be taking it easy with you after 3 years. Are we together? Right? So what did we now decide as a church? We have to find a way around it. We said, no matter, even though some people, it is that second Sunday of the month, they rather not come to church. That particular Sunday is where they put all their chip. Yeah? We will still tolerate it. But the truth is, I know that no matter what, we have more people on Sunday after church than Saturday. So happy days. Are we together? Happy days. A time will come, if we find out that less people are coming to church on Sunday, they are coming on Wednesday more. We will change it to... The only thing that we'll do is we'll first come, we'll sing for 30 minutes, then go. Because the people will not come if we start with evangelism. They will just sneak in. What is that preaching? Yeah? But we'll say, let's come, let's sing, let's pray. And when it's time for the word, we go into the street with the word. Right? But what am I saying? I'm trying to say that it comes together as a full package. Right? The local church you attend should be helping you fulfill God's will for your life. The local church you attend should be helping you fulfilling God's purpose for your life. To be helping you fulfill God's destiny for your life, right? So God has sent you. Imagine your boss sends you, right? You know, if your manager sends you to do something, you know how well you take it up on your head and you ensure you keep doing it. You put your heart to it. You ensure you keep doing it. You ensure that you go out of your way to do it, right? But how come when it comes to the things that God has sent us to do, we're always a little relaxed back? So one of the ways you choose a local church, right? One of the things I've been careful doing over time is, let me say that differently another day, right? But one of the things that you will find out that you need to look out for in a local church is how committed are they to God's sending? Are we together? I hope you know that there are lots of local churches where they don't go out to preach. Are we together? Right? Yeah? But the truth is that there are many more that are going out to preach. Altogether, there are many more. They are all around the world. God has men, like I would always say. But, you know, someone was asking, I think it was someone in my house. Yeah, so someone was asking me of my opinion about two churches. They attend a church, right? And the church they attend, in one of them, why are you looking there? She's not the person asking me now. Right? So he was asking that, this particular church, well, they have the Afro, what do you call it? Afrofusion, Afro? Afro, you know, they have the Afro music and their choir is Afro, you know, this thing. But this other one, they don't have the Afro vibe, but the word is there. And anytime I go there, I grow. Listen to that. Listen to that comparison. Like, there's a church, oh, where we go there, the Afro-Caribbean. You start in Caribbean, you end in Malawi. Hallelujah. Then bring Zim, by the way, then end in Kenya. Right? So, but the other one, it says their songs are just so solemn. They're just so this thing. But I used to go there maybe once in a month or anytime I hear the word, I know I'm growing. That kind of person, where do you want to start from? Yeah? You just have to say, I hope you know you're unserious. Yeah? You know, you don't choose a local church because of the musical equipment they have. You know, some people, you know, somebody has reached out to me. Let me know. If I say more than that, you will know the person, some of you. But somebody, not in this church here. Amen? Amen. In the UK. Not in the UK. Someone has reached out to me. I said, Pastor, please, I want you to permit me. I want to be going to this church every midweek service. Have you finished all the assignment in the church? You're not fed well. And, you know, Pastor, I need to get married. You know, I like some people's boldness. But I wish they could use that boldness for descending. Just say, no, Pastor. What are the sisters in our church? No, Pastor, don't talk like that now. Pastor, want to explore. I'm saying someone reached out to me, right? Yeah. So you find out that people pick local churches for different reasons. So people go to local churches because that's where all the celebrities go to. Yeah. So people go to local churches because that's where, you know, they have fanciful, beautiful. Yeah. So I remember someone going to, so people go to local church because of the children's church. I've heard people do that before. They say, children's church. They're children's church. And whilst it is good to have all those things, but if you can't afford it, so what should we do? So, okay, as now, we cannot afford children's church. Please tell me, what should I do? No. Don't laugh. Oh. Just tell me, what should I do? I should put my head on the ceiling. You understand? Yeah. So you can't say that, you want even the children. If your goal is actually for your children to actually grow, there are some things you look for in the children's church. You understand? If that's where you go, but someone will just like that church. I remember someone telling me that I like that church because their toilet has cream. I know the church. Actually, I've been there before. I could relate what he was talking about. You know that kind of thing when you're easing yourself and you're seeing life screen in front of you. People have used money to do a lot of things in this life. Yeah, and you're just using the toilet and you're just hearing the word. Speak in life. Oh, so that, you know, it's good to have all those things. You know, but the truth remains that what exactly is it that you're even hearing? I like going to the church because, you know, this is your church, Pastor, is for all of them are married. Some go to churches because they want to look for single. Some go to church because they want to look for married. Yeah. The question becomes, what are you looking out for? It's simple. And that's why you see when people leave God's palace and relocate to any part of the world, I've had different categories of people. I have people who have fought me for not asking them, what church are you going to? I'm not joking, no. They fought me. They said, how can they leave the church after serving? I didn't ask them what church they are going to. I've also had people who, when they left the church, before they went to the city they were going to, the first thing they looked for online was which church would they continue attending. I believe as your pastor, my responsibility is to teach you what to look out for in a church. People can relocate, can start life anywhere, but the question is, for somebody who I hold you very dearly, if you hear this message, but when I started seeing how the person was trying to pick a local church, somebody who have trained for, who we've trained as a local church for years, I say, you know, if I go to this local church, I feel like I'll be more visible. Listen to what the person said, though. You remember now? That I'll be more visible, right? You know, you know, in this church, you don't believe that the backup singer or so-and-so ministers that travel all over the world, they are in that church. It's a good connection. I'm like, hi. I am you, all my training that will be shouting and be singing and be jumping up and down. But that's what human beings are for you. But so the best you can do as a preacher, a disciple, is just to say what you need to say, right? So when you go to a new city, right? You see, when you go to a new city and you tell me your new church, I don't need to talk to you or give you a feedback. But when you tell me what you are learning and what is happening there, when I know what is happening there, I know if you've taken seriously the things we've said. You know, some people change city because they want to change church. You don't get it. In this kind of church now, for instance, maybe people already look at you as you're a very serious-minded believer. So the best way to change church is not to go to a neighboring church is to go to a neighboring city. Altogether, you'll find that people have different categories. But the truth remains that what are you looking out for? A church that is giving to them, you know, you should be able to go to church and ask, what is the mission statement? What's our mission statement? Any mission statement that is not hinged around Matthew's Gospel 28, right, is most likely not a divinely orchestrated mission statement. What is Matthew's Gospel 28? Going to the world and preach the gospel. What is our mission statement as a church? Right, to see men coming to the reality of God's love and to train them. You know what you just did is just to say it from the back. Our mission statement is Matthew 28. Right? That should be you should be saying that. That means, let me say this. I'm having a retreat with leaders and leaders in training coming to next weekend or there about 2 weeks from now. One of the things the things I'm planning to teach in that thing, I'm going to talk about it a little today. Right? You know, we must get our minds ready to welcome all kinds and types of people. Right? The vision for God's Palace is not that in 10 years everybody is looking like a saint. Are you here? Are you here? Do you know what I'm trying to say? You see, all of us are looking like saints like this. All of us are looking like saints. That's not the vision, right? A time should come where we would have strange people in our midst. A time should come where we should have somebody who is smelling like a drunkard in our midst. A time should come where we should have people who are looking the way that the world has programmed the minds of people to look as normal. We should have them in our midst. We should have drug lords who are being converted for the kingdom of God. We should have drug lords who are being converted for the gospel. We should have celebrities who have sung wayward songs and they are all number one on the billboard and they are sitting right in our local church and they are learning God's word. Because the vision of God's love in the earth is for everybody. Right? And that's why I'm going to say to you, right, as a man on a mission, don't relegate. There is no type of soul that God does not want. You know, some of us, yeah, you will see somebody looking like a tattered drunkard. You will dodge the person. You are going to look for somebody that looks like similar to a Christian. You know, some people look like Christian. Yeah? You see somebody that is looking so tattered and looking like a drug person, right? You will dodge them. No. In your mind, you say, this soul is not ready. Yeah? Then you go and be looking for somebody that is already holding Bible. Yeah? Looking for someone who is already holding the Bible, somebody who is just coming back from church. I'm saying it's everybody. Are we together? It's everybody. See, it's everybody. So you would have people who are looking like, you know, what I'm trying to say is don't have a stereotyped mind. Don't have a kind of person. Some of us in the way we preach the gospel, we are already judgmental. We've judged people. Are we together? Remember Pastor Nanka was talking about the example of how he preached to prostitutes and how he paid. Remember that story, right? He paid for it. That does not mean you should go and try it before you come and call us to come and rescue you. If your faith is not strong, reach to people on the street first. The people on the street first before you're looking for prostitutes in their room. Yeah? Say, and that's a good way to win souls. Huh? Pastor just said he paid the prostitute. And they got into the room. And I hope you know. Learn what I want to say. Yeah? But that, you know, when some of these are said like that, you know yourself. Yeah? You know yourself. Look for souls on the streets where we are going to see. Not the one like Joseph, where they want to hold your trousers. You too, you hold your skirt. Let it be open so that if you want to run, you can flee. It's not easy. I can never see that style as a style as I would do. How will I go and pay for prostitutes? Enter inside the room. They lock the door. And I say, sit down. And I say, Jesus is Lord. No, it's not me and you. Right? So don't take that example and say that's your modus operandi going forward. No. Let's stay on the streets for now. So that I'll not come up delivering you from things that. Yeah. But you get the point. I'm trying to say that there is no kind of soul. Are we together? Everyone. Say everyone. Bible says, till the earth is filled with the knowledge of his glory. Right? So I'm trying to say to you that I hope you know that it's not every. Some of us have a stereotype as a kind of preacher. Someone reached out to me and said, I can't be their pastor because I'm not married. Yeah? To my face. Not, you know, it's different when you use tweets to communicate it. Yeah? You can use tweet. If I read it, it's fine for me. But you can't say, no, Pastor, I can't be a member of this church, really. Somebody had invited the person to church, right? Because I want a pastor who is married, right? Yeah. So I'm trying to say, some other people will say, I don't like pastors who have Jerry Coyne. Yeah. The only pastors that are serious are those that have skin cut. Says who? Altogether. Says who? There's a man, what's his name? I was thinking of his name just now and it skipped my mind. He has very tight locks. Todd. Not Mike Todd. Mike Todd is not the Moses K 10,000. No, that's not that one. Okay. Okay, that one. Okay, no, it's not Mike Todd. Bless his heart. Mike Todd is reaching the generation. Todd White. You know Todd White? Yeah, so Todd White is somebody who was. Don't stop sitting in my front when I'm preaching. That's it at the back. Yeah, Todd White, he has his dreads locked. I don't know how I thought of that example, so I'm sorry. this generation, God has people. See, who am I saying this to you? Don't be stereotyped. God has different kinds of people. Todd White is somebody who goes into the streets and get people healed on the spot. Altogether. Right? And some people say, I know, I cannot allow, how can you have dreads and minister to me? No. I don't want familiar spirits. No. See, God will have people that will minister his power with skin cuts and those with hair. Those with beard. Yeah, it's up to you. There's no point fighting. If your mind is not able to accept everybody, right, or anybody to be your pastor, no matter what they look like, look for the one you like. I remember, at some point earlier in the Christian faith, for instance, from Nigeria, people used to accuse, used to talk about Jericho, right? Pastor Chris Oyakilomi, right? I remember Pastor Nike was talking about an example. One man was saying, how will a man be palming his hair? How will a man be palming his hair? What, yeah? And he just stood there and said, okay, your man is palming his hair. Okay, do you know this other man? He doesn't palm his hair. Are they both preaching Jesus? We have followed the other man. We like this one like this. You know, I'm trying to say that God will use men no matter how they look. The moment from the time we start having people coming into church, right, start looking, you will have a meeting, for instance, where somebody will have one tight, drug leg. The person will even look like a lady, right? And the person might have earrings and everything. Don't begin to... How can you know that person can come, get born again in that meeting, get fueled in that meeting, and give you a word of knowledge in that meeting? You see, the way God does it, he beats man's imagination. Sometimes we put ourselves on a very, we think highly of ourselves. Some of you have forgotten where you're coming from. You know, as I just said what I just said, some of you are saying, no, I wasn't that bad. Yeah, that's not the way to view it. You must understand that, you are only saved by his mercy. Right? Some of us want to be saved by his mercy, but want others to be saved by works. Yeah, you were saved by his mercy, but you want others to be, this one. So you're saying me and you now go to the same heaven. No. No, but the truth remains that, it will shock you. What God is looking for is a heart. So God wants men to change from the inside first to the outside. Altogether. As we grow as a church, you will keep having strange people. Sometimes some people will come, right? When it's time for prayer, they will just be looking at you and be chewing gum. Yeah? It's not your place to just go and pray. No. I didn't send you that. Can't you see what others are doing? No. Eh? When it's time for prayer, you pray. When it's time for singing, you sing. No. I'm saying we'd have different people would have to patiently take it through. Right? Yeah? And that's why we have leaders in local church who observe some of these things. Right, that is why you have a pastor who should observe some of these things, paying attention to what is happening. Right, a brother should come to church for the first time, and maybe after 2-3 weeks, right, when it's time for prayer, he just sits down. But after 4 weeks, after 5 weeks, what happens? Right, he begins to what? Join in prayer. When it's time for singing, what happens? Yeah, a brother comes for singing, any time for singing, he just, fine. Yeah. Or he comes to church, for instance, right? And the first time he comes to church, he just, is now saying, wow, what a presence of God. And he's bringing out his phone, right? You face your worship. Yeah? Are we here? Yeah? Your worship is your weapon. Yeah? Face your worship, right? There is a structure in the church that should be in place to tolerate that and also make amendments over time. It won't happen overnight. Right? Because we are men on mission, it means there are different... You know, when you're traveling in the bush, for instance, there are different things you will see. Are we together? You will see different types of cars. Is that not correct? I hope you also know we'll see different types of trees. I hope you know you'll see different types of potholes. Different types of things you will see. And that's the mindset you must have as a man on a mission. That anything you see, you know that God wants the earth to be filled. Yeah? There's a man I was preaching to at Waverly, I think a couple months ago, right? So he was really high. You know, he was high, he was gone, he was struggling. So, and you know, people just gave him space, right? Yeah, you, obviously when you hear a word coming from him. So I walked up to him and I was tapping him and I was looking at him, oh, how are you doing? And you know, one of the things he said to me was that, wow, nobody has reached out, has come this close to me in a long time. Yeah? Oh, where do you stay? Where do you do this? Yeah. Oh, we spoke, I shared God's message with him. Oh, I hope you know that God loves you, God for you. He said, how can God love me in my state like this? See, I'm saying I've met different kinds of people, types of people. Right? So, but you must understand that it's God's will that all men are saved. So he says, how will they hear if there is no preacher? So if a man does not hear the message, it's not because there is no preacher, it's because there are preachers that are not preaching. Is that correct? Yeah? If a man does not hear the message, it's not because they are not preachers. It is that there are preachers who are preaching. It's not that God has not sent anybody to them. No! And some of us believe that, oh, there are some people that God will send people to them at specific times of God's general will. And no. Yeah? What about being very intentional as you go out tomorrow, as you go out next tomorrow, right? You're looking for who can you speak to. For those of you who work from home, you have to be intentional about going out. You have to be, if not, you just give yourself an excuse, you know, I work from home. No. You need to be very intentional. Take out one day in a month or twice in a month and spend extensive hours on the streets. Take out once, twice in a month. Take out time. Spend extensive, because God wants men. So you are one of those who God has sent. Say, I am sent by Jesus. Look at Acts 14. Acts 14, 21. Acts 14, 21. So what it says? It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Look at verse 22, 1, 2, 3, go. So they went into a city and preached. Is that correct? Then after that, what did they do? Confirmed the souls of disciples and exhorted them to continue in the what? In the faith. And that almost through much tribulation entered into the kingdom. Look at 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, what happened? They prayed and fasted and they commended them unto God in whom they believed. So look at that. You see, the approach of the disciples who went to preach was to ensure that they were committed to somebody or to a people. You know, I was talking about this towards the end of teaching on Sunday. Remember that, right? That don't be ashamed to say, if somebody just get born again, don't be ashamed to say, come to my church. Somebody says they are struggling to grow in their church. Don't let it be too hard for you to suggest, I'm not struggling to grow in my church. Why don't you have a try in my church? Right? So they look for elders amongst them, ordained elders amongst them, and what did they say again there, right? It says, and commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Right? So they preached the gospel, they brought forth the message of the gospel, the salvation message of God's plan, and what happened? The next after that is discipleship. You know, it's in discipleship in training that you know that you are a man on a mission. Yeah? It's in discipleship in training that you know you are a man on a mission. Very, very important to note. So, something has happened to you when you become born again. You've received the spirit of a preacher. Can you have something and not act accordingly? Yes. And Pastor, I don't go out to preach because, you know, I've been praying to God for the past few years about boldness. Boldness. And God said, hold on, my child. You will get it in due time. You can keep praying about boldness and still doing the will of the Father. And still keep preaching the gospel. Very important. Very important. So, the message around salvation comes with an instruction to go. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a what? Chosen generation. A what? A royal priesthood. Who is a priest? A priest is the one that serves on behalf in the temple. A priest is one who serves in the temple. right, on behalf of the people in the temple, or serves the people in the temple, right? So you are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, right? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, called for to show, right? So there's something that is expected from you when you encounter God. How many of you remember the woman at the well, right? John 4. What happened? She had an encounter with God, and what happened? The moment she had that encounter, she ran into the street to go preach the gospel. Is that correct? She ran. That means when you have an encounter with God, your heart will burn to do something for God. Yeah? Sometimes your heart starts burning once you have that encounter, but because of your association, you quench the fire. First Thessalonians 5 will tell you, it says, quench not the Spirit's fire. We saw that earlier on a few weeks ago. Quench not the fire of the Spirit. There's a Spirit's fire that comes into you when you become born again. Right? But you see, when you allow your association to dim that fire, to quench that fire, no, get yourself amongst, like I always tell you, don't be the one who all your friends, you are the one encouraging them to serve God. You will soon serve mammon. How can everybody in your family, everybody in your lineage, everybody in your house, all your friends you met in school, both secondary, university, high, everything, you are the only one that is serving God. You need new friends. You need new friends. You know, it's easier for five to influence one than one to influence five. I hope you know, it takes a strong personality and character as one person to influence five people. You have to have a strong personality. Yeah, even at times when I look at, there's a day some of us went out to preach, I think in Gal, you know, and I think I was talking about maybe four, five, or six people. And one of you had reached out to me and said, Pastor, how did you start talking to people like this? And one of the things I had to say to myself is, I know that I have a strong personality. Right? If I stay inside a room, the truth is that more often than not, if I want to, I can tilt the conversation. And I've used it generously over the years to get people more serious into the things of God. I told you a story of a lady and some of my friends, about four of them in a room, right? She wanted to do a tattoo on her back. Remember that story, right? Psalm 46, for God is within her, right? And that was the point. I hope you know, not everybody can convert that conversation to the message of the gospel. Even though you know you should. That is why you need to ensure that you have friends. So imagine you have five friends around you. All of them have strong personality. Your own is not strong. Very soon, you start asking yourself, why am I even going to church on Sunday? This thing is not that serious. Jesus not died for our sins. You know, I have one of my friends who usually say to me, when I talk about commitment to ministry and everything, he says, are we not all going to the same heaven? The first time he mentioned it, that was the day I knew that this one, we cannot be close. You agree, right? Yeah? I'm not going to the same heaven. This heaven, let's take it easy. And he used that as an excuse to be chasing the mundane things of life. You know, you chase. Do you know what it is for you to be on the resurrection morning and you have a cloud of people with you saying, I got born again because of that brother? You know what it is for you to, on the resurrection morning, God looks at you and says, what did you do with my spirit I gave you? I just say, look at them. Do you know what kind of joy that brings to you? It cannot be compared to $1 million that you get on the earth. It can't be. I remember somebody was asking me a question a few months ago, saying, but the Bible teaches about judgment seat. But I thought we say we have been judged. You know, we're just trying to explain what is judgment seat. You know how people explain the crown. Yeah, is there a crown that will be given to us? Yes and no. Yeah, the problem we have is what kind of crown will be given to us, right? You know what? You know when we say Usain Bolt has the crown of the fastest man in the world, is he always wearing crown? What you see? If I've ever seen Usain Bolt with crown, but he has the crown of the fastest man in the world. You know how many of you know? You know what it is for your mentor to say, I'm proud of you. You know how it sweets your heart. Yeah? Imagine God says, I'm proud of you. That's what matters, though. Is it good to have money? Oh, it is good to have money. I don't think there are very few people who don't like to have money. Before, I used to say, everybody in this life wants to have money, but I realized, no, it's not true.
Because if you want to have money, you will not be waking up the time you wake up. Some people, no, I can't just agree. You know, I remember, so I think it was a couple years ago, I was saying that everybody in school, I think Eresh was saying that everybody in school wants to finish with the first class. He says, no. For some people, the way they drop down from their father's car in that 100 level, you know this one has an intention to finish with pass. You know. Yeah? What am I saying? I'm trying to say not everybody wants to be rich, but I'm trying to say that even those who don't want to be rich, if you give them money, they won't reject. We can say some will reject. I've not done statistics before. Yeah? But I'm saying there is no joy that can be compared with. You were a man on a mission on the earth, and you've completed your mission. What did Paul say? I ran my race. I finished my race. I finished my course. Is that correct? Everybody has a course they are running on this world. What matters is what are you doing with what God has given you? So is God's spirit good for other things in your life? You know, you can use God's spirit to know the job not to take. You can use God's spirit to know the job not to apply for. You can use God's spirit, you can use word of knowledge, you can use all those things to know things mundane about your life. But the truth is that's not the primary fundamental purpose that song we sang. We've stepped into his word, we've looked into his heart, all we see is his love. He gave us his very best. Why did God give us his spirit to reach the world? God gave us his spirit so that we can do effectively the work of a man on the mission. The work of a man on the mission. So every day you wake up, the question is, what exactly are you doing around the mission? Every day, every week, you always remind yourself, what are you doing around the mission? The woman at the well, I was saying earlier on, right? She heard the message and it pushed her into the streets. It pushed her into the streets. There is something about fire. You know, when Jesus was teaching the disciples in Luke 24, look at Luke 24 quickly. Luke 24, 32. Luke 24, verse 31. Are you there? Luke 24, 31. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. 32, 1, 2, 3, go. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened up the scriptures, right? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen. What happened? There was a fire that got into their heart upon an encounter with Jesus. And what did they rush to Jerusalem to go and preach? He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. I'm saying that fire comes into everybody's body when they become born again. But you can quench it by your attitude. You can quench it by your mode of your mode of activities or the things you do. Some of us, we make service to Jesus secondary. Secondary. You know, one of the things you must think about, for instance, as a major deal when you are relocating is, what about the local church? Altogether, what about the local church? Yeah, you know, you should have the practice of saying, Pastor, we have to relocate because of so and so reason. Do you know any local church you come? It's up to me to say, well, no, if I don't. It's up to me to say, well, yes, if I do. Right? But you know, it's a good attitude. Right? Except, I mean, is it even different? You can even say, Pastor, I found a local church I'm going to be attending when I go here, when I get here. Right? And like I said, your reason for choosing that will be because their life and mission and vision is centered around Matthew's Gospel 28, going to the world and preach the gospel. Right? There are certain things you don't take. There are certain things you turn down. There are certain things you reject because you are a man on a mission. I remember when I finished, you know, my master's in 2018, right? I had opportunities of working in one of top oil companies, right? And I got an offer that was probably about times three of what they were going to give me where I finally went to in Abuja, right? But I was going to be out of Abuja every Monday to Saturday. It means I would preach only on Sunday and be doing maybe whatever method on Wednesday, right? But I turned down that offer, right, because I realized I'm a man on a mission. Truth is, I would have gotten that money. I'd probably be one of the highest earners, right, amongst my peers, amongst my, people who finish school together and all of those things. But the truth is, that's not what was on my mind. What will make me be closer to the fulfillment, to service, right? What will make me closer to that? That's very important.
That's very important. So the question is, what are you doing with his spirit on your on your inside? You need to always remind yourself that I'm a man on a mission. So what's your mission? The mission is to ensure that men are brought into his love, into his light. So you wake up every morning having that as at the forefront of your mind. Oh, men need to be saved today. You know, all of the things, again, we did that teaching last year. You know, learn to have the practice of following up with those you've preached to before. Learn to have that practice of following up with those you've preached to before, right? You know. Let me say this and say it clearly today. You see, I don't expect that there's anybody you preach to, right, who you don't attempt to get a means of following up with. Did you hear what I just said? I don't expect that there's anybody you preach to who you don't attempt. You get the point? You know what I'm trying to say? Attempt to get a means of following, either by phone number, either by email, either by Instagram, either by Snapchat. Yeah, you should preach, and once they listen, it's a lot for someone to give you 5 minutes of their time. It's a lot to give someone to give you 10 minutes of their time. So you can't speak to someone for 10, 15 minutes, and either they nod their head in acceptance or in saying that they are following. 15 minutes of their time is a long time. Don't leave that. Cheers, eh? All right, cheers, eh? See you when we see. No. Yeah, because you know that your mission is to train, it means that you should admit that that one you did for 15 minutes is not training. It's an initial starting point. So have that practice. Oh, do you mind if I have your number? Do you mind if I, it's as simple, let me even say it how you say it. How I say it is, do you mind if we keep in touch? Right? People have given me fake number plenty of times. It's not, there are some young boys I meet, for instance, and the way they give me the number, you know that, in fact, it's the way they gave me is even fake. Yeah? And they will call the number for 012, but they don't know, I always try it in their front. 012-7772-333. When you now die, I say, oh, it's not available, it's not available. Say, oh, it's not correct. They will now bring the original one. All of us, you are using common sense. How can I spend 15 minutes with you? I say, we should keep it. You better just say, I don't want to keep in touch with you. You don't look good. Right? That to say, I'll give you my number. So you can pick a number. Oh, let it ring. And you know, sometimes when one guy did it for me today, yeah? Hey, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me not say what they did to me. Because you start judging people. Right? Some people, they will give you a fake number. Right? Some people, they know how to play music on their phone. Right? So you gave them they gave you a number that is ringing. It will ring, but it's not their number. And when it's ringing, right, their phone too will ring. But you don't know that it's not their number that you are calling. But they are playing music. Is that happened to you before? So now what I do is, let me see, 654. That's my number. That's what it ends with, 654. 654. Let me see 654 on your screen. Yeah, very important. And I'm saying there are those as well who will say, oh, I'd rather not give my number. That's okay. But I'm saying, because you know you are a man on a mission who is to train others, don't leave any conversation just to breeze. Sometimes what we do is we sow the seed plus 20, and once you allow them to go, you're already giving them minus 200 by default. Right? So have that intention that because you have to train, I know what you can do again for yourself. Have a book. I have a menu on my calendar. Right, I have a list of the people who I'm following up with, and I have a day of the week to follow up. It's Friday. I'm telling you for free. It's Friday. Yeah, people who I preach to, and when I see people's number on my phone, right, don't just meet someone on the road and the person say Sarah. Just say Sarah. No, let me tell you how I save it though. It is Sarah Evangelism 2024 March Wavy. Are we here? Yeah, it is Esther. Airport. Edinburgh, flying to Abuja. You see how I name people on my phone. Yeah, most of that is for you, the owner of the phone, to know how to keep in touch. So have a list, write it down. I preached to this person on this day. They gave me their number, right? Yeah, and what do? You take a day of the week, you are praying for them because you're a man on the mission. If your follow-up day is Thursday or Friday, for instance, what maybe you preach to them on Saturday, follow-up is maybe Wednesday or Thursday, and your first follow-up, I did all this teaching in following-up series, right, engaging the streets, right? If your first message is, oh, hope you're doing fine, however, just checking up on you, right? Yeah, the truth is that you would have different people who will have different excuses. There are those who will block your number, but at least let that be on your mind. I was saying to one of you here on over the weekend, I said, as a church, we've over the months, I've seen the growth in most of you, if not all of you actually, who have been around for a bit, right? And I've seen that
we have gotten a hold of preaching right now. All right? So there's nobody who has been in gospel house for like 3 months or 6 months, for instance, who does not know how to stop someone on the road. You know, that's a good mark. I hope you know. It is a brilliant mark. Very brilliant. Yeah? That as a pastor, I can be able to boldly say that there's no member of our church, both Nigeria and UK, who I'm not confident about to say, we can go for it. And the question they were asking is, what am I supposed to say? It's a brilliant mark. But mind you, whilst that's brilliant, there's still more. Yes, altogether, there's still more. Right? There's still more. There's the aspect of training that we now need to start practicing. So the reason why I'm not talking about that part over the years, over the months for some of us, is that it's good to get one first, at least hold it well. Hold it well. I've gone out with some of you on evangelism on several occasions, right? You already have the how to start, the word, and I can always tell you, don't feel like anybody is monitoring what you're using to start conversation with different people. Nobody knows you. Yeah? You just need one method and it works and it works and it works. You keep using it. Yeah? Nobody say, it's not. One of my friends said they met you and they are the one that you started asking me what is love. Eh? I asked them what is love. You two, don't you deserve to tell me what is love? Yeah? The same concept. But always make sure that you have also what is the following up. What is the next? Because you see, the local church is God's wisdom and God plans to reach the earth through local churches. Is that correct? Yeah, I remember there was somebody that was shouting the radio and was saying, why are churches just opening branches everywhere? That's God's vision. That's God's vision. That's God's vision. I will tell you for free. Yeah, I told myself a few years ago, I said, worst case scenario, no matter what, even if I start pastoring and I'm pastoring a church, I just want one church. But the truth is that the more we grow and the more we stay in God's will, we should have more churches opening. Are we together? Right? We should have more churches opening. We should have a church in Glasgow. Is that correct? We should have more than one church in Edinburgh. Are we together? We should have a church in EH16. What EH is this again? Sorry, EH12. Okay, EH16. Oh, maybe a church is coming EH16. Yeah? We should have one in EH16, one in EH12, right? And we should have one in Glasgow, we should have one in Livingston, we should have one in Motherwell. Yeah, that's God's vision. That's God's will. You know, I've been thinking very recently, right? A lot of people who I reach out to in Motherwell, once you tell them where church is, you've lost them. You've lost them, right? But the truth is that we will keep at it. Yes, we'll keep at it. Yeah, we'll keep at it. Yeah, I was talking to one the other day. He said, well, I wanted to look for how to say that, not look far. I wanted to say, and I started saying, you know the M8. Once you get on the M8, just at the end of the M8. Is that not anything, bro? I said the end of the M8 before you turn left or right, just be going straight. You know, hotel. Yeah? I just said, wait, oh, end of M8. Is that way? You know when you have the KFC and donut, what's the other donut? Krispy Kreme. Say, oh, no, that's quite a distance. That kind of message. You know, just enter your car and just be coming. When you see Novotel, you stop. Yeah? You know, but what is that? Yeah, and a lot of times I've seen people who have tried to show interest in wanting to come and all those kind of things, but the question now becomes, it was Nigeria. You know how this in Nigeria, a lot of times, you pay people. You give them their transport money. You know, here's a piece of transfer money in Nigeria. Yeah. You know, that's why we should keep working on any more money. Because the truth is, your money is not only for you and your family. You should be able to sponsor your disciple, but let's take it a step at a time. First, becoming you and your family. Yeah, a time should come where, for instance, I'm coming to church and I should have like a chartered car or a van that's picking four of my disciples or five from Motherwell, from Livingston, and we're all coming to Edinburgh. It must come. Do you understand? It must come. Yeah, it will come. As I'm doing my own too, you should be planning your own. Yes, sir. Yeah? You're planning your own too. Yeah? When you're at EA16, right? You already have like five disciples around. You have the money, £100. Call one cab. Just say, pick them, bring them. When it's time, bring them. Or you even say, take £10, take boss. You start to say, say boss. Boss for 2 hours. You understand? That's the last time you see some people. Yeah, but I'm trying to say that, what, see, can you see, we are aware of what is happening, but that will not stop us from doing what we need to do. I could as well just say, Motherwell, because I know nobody will come from Motherwell, I'll stop preaching Motherwell. No, it's my vision and plan that the cell in Motherwell increases, where we will have people who will join the church, but they will start from the cell. All together. So you have lots of people who want to come to church, you follow up with them, which is why I'm also thinking, it might be in the coming days, we might spend more time in evangelism in Edinburgh, as it were. Right? So we start from there, then probably see how we can now, you know, diverge into different locations. But the truth remains that it's not going to end in Edinburgh. It won't. So what's your purpose? What's your mind? Right? You know, when I'm flying on the bus, flying on the plane, even though there are people, for instance, who I sit beside on the plane, right, and they're leaving Edinburgh, and obviously they came for a holiday or something like that, that does not mean I will not say, because I know I'm not going to see you again, let me not preach. No. There are those you converse with. There are those you collect their numbers, collect their details. You follow up with them, right? There was one guy on Princess Street a couple of months ago who gave me his time, spoke to him for like 30 minutes, right? And he said, wow, I wanted to come to church, but he said that he's from America. He just came to Edinburgh for a holiday. I was like, oh, that's beautiful. I got his number, right, from time to time. Message him. And he said, anytime I'm in America, make sure that I have a place to stay in his home, that he's going to welcome me and all those kind of things. Well, the truth is that the most important thing for me is I've preached the message of the gospel. That relationship is there, right? If he reaches out to me and he says, oh, can we continue this conversation? I try to continue conversations, but, you know, time difference. Time difference is different. Are we together, right? But what am I saying? I'm saying your goal and your mission as a believer is preaching the gospel of salvation, preaching the message of salvation, right? Preaching the message of salvation. So the local church is to train you for that. Look, let's close in 1 Timothy 2:2. I'll just close in 1 Timothy 2:2 today. Sorry, 2 Timothy 2:2. Sorry, 2 Timothy 2:2. 2:2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. I'm a man on a mission. Right? Man on a mission. You can always go out of your house. Ensure you always have tracks with you. Yeah? Ensure you always have tracks with you. Track is not a problem in God's palace. We print, you finish with your print. Amen? Have tracks. Have at least 2-3 tracks with you. Right? Yeah? There are days where you've dedicated for evangelism. But any other day you go out that's not an evangelism day, don't say, no, it's not my evangelism. No. Because you don't know who you will speak to that day that you will change the course of their lineage. Think about who God used to change the course of my father's life from a Muslim. You are only here today because that man. And you know, interesting, the man was his relative, his elder cousin. Right? His elder cousin preached to him, right? Until today, my dad is still the only Christian in his lineage, in his family. Is that correct? Yeah, he's still the only Christian, right? His father had 2-3 wives? 3 wives, right? And in all the children that I gave it to, my father is still... So imagine, so my father's older cousin, older than him, was probably 20 plus years, right, saw him and preached. It wasn't only my father he preached to, but he preached to my father, he followed up with my father, and handed him over my father to CAC, was it CAC, right, and he started going to CAC. That man, you are the product of that man's action. Are you with me? You are the product, you are in the harvest. You are in the harvest of that man's decision. So it might look like you are talking to people, nobody wants to give you a number. No, you are doing something. You are doing something. You are planting the seed. Just see yourself as one who should be planting. Just be planting. Just be planting. Just be planting. Who would have thought that in this big Edinburgh, somebody will reach out to me on the road, and me, after preaching to them in exile, they'll say, I've met somebody like you that preach. Is this God's palace? That means we are sowing the right seeds. Are we together? Right? Don't measure. Now, eventually, are we supposed to grow in number? Oh, yes, it's God's will that the earth is filled. We are to grow. From 1 and 2, we turn to millions. We turn to billions. We will. But you see, don't begin to say, we've been preaching. This man will just be shouting, let's go for evangelism. Oh, yeah. Who has come to this church because of the evangelism? Who has come? No. You have planted the seed. The man sowed the seed in the life of my father. And that, by default, has affected my life. Affected that of my siblings, affected my children and their children, affected everybody sitting here, one man. I'm saying my dad would have remained a Muslim and he would keep shining as a Muslim. Do you know there's every tendency that my dad would have died a Muslim? You know, sometimes it's easy for us to say,
if it's not this one, God will use somebody else. No, it's not always like that, too. It's not always like that, too. There's some people you miss the relationship with them. While God wants to use somebody else, it might be that their life and destiny might not orchestrate them to meet that second person. Or in fact, the second person might not even be bold to preach. So why don't you just initiate it? Why don't you just speak about it? Why don't you just talk about it? Why don't you just speak about it? Right? I told you on Sunday, right, of just a little video, videos from TikTok, right? And a group of people are gathering, you know, in different parts of the world and saying, oh, we're listening to you. My reason for sharing video is for God's word to what? Go around. Is that correct? Yeah. And what am I doing by doing that? I'm sowing the seed in different places. I've met different people who have reached out to me, right? You know, sometimes, at first, I used to wonder. I'm like, because when we do live stream, the truth is my goal for live stream is for 1, 2, 3 of you who are not in church for some reason. And the major reason is just to record it and have it on YouTube so that we can just be, because our audio is gotten from the YouTube as well. But I just realized, 20 people, 40 people, where are they coming from? A lot of time when I go to Nigeria, I see a lot of people reach out to me. People get my Instagram number. Say, we are always following you. Well, it's not within my jurisdiction to be saying, the world is going because people are reaching me. What should make me excited, what I'm trying to say, is that the word is being sown in the hearts of people. You know, so from today to tomorrow, right? You see, between now and Saturday, you know, you can make up your mind to leave your house to go and preach. How many of you will do that? You can make up your mind, you will leave your house to go and preach. You can make up your mind that as you are going to work tomorrow on Friday, on the bus, you will talk to somebody about Jesus. Right? I told you of a man, remember last year when we were doing the evangelism series, a man who was the leader of the instrumentalist for the man called Fela. Right? And what happened? Yeah? In America, two ladies. Right? The same technique of Pastor Shegun. I mean, you remember the story now? Two ladies entered him in the room and he was about to enter. And what happened? They preached the message of the gospel. I'm not saying go and be doing that though. Yeah? And they preached the message of the gospel. And the man became a pastor. Yeah? And you know when they say pastor of tout? Someone that says he fasts for over 200 or 300 days in a year. Just by somebody just saying the word. Do you know how many family names you are changing? My name is still Yusuf till today and till tomorrow. But one man's action changed me because that man realizes he's a man on the mission. He could have said, no, it's my family now. No, I know I don't like to step on people's toe. Let people have their freedom. No, I know it's difficult, more difficult to reach your family members, always more difficult, right? Particularly because of the lifestyle you used to live. Or because of how they treat you. Yeah. But you know, you can as well, what can you do for your family as well? You can pray. I hope you know it's very few occasions. I got my sister and my brother filled with tongues, right? After years. It was in one living room one day. Right? Got them to speak to us. Yeah, the truth is that they could only receive that from me because of the kind of lifestyle they saw. There are those I'm saying to you that if you like have lifestyle or lifestyle plus, right, they will not still receive from you. But what is the responsibility? Take out time and pray. Like I'd always tell you, right, how would my parents take out time to, how would I have thought that my parents would listen to what I was saying? Yeah, I took more time praying than speaking to them. Altogether. My mom is sitting down here today is a testimony. Altogether. What was the word that if I say God come eventually by force, what will I do? I will change the church in Abbey. I should be mommy, you want to continue gospelers? You are gospelers. Right? Yeah, I'll go and create my own. Yeah? Grace Palace. Altogether. Yeah, I'll move. But you see, it takes a lot for her to be sitting down here and she's listening. Right? And she's been doing that for years. It takes a lot for my parents to be able to listen to me. I took more time praying. Why am I saying this? I'm ending with this. Spend more time praying for your disciples and those you are preaching to. I'll close there. Spend more time praying. One of the things I've learned to do over the years is to pray more than I study and more than I preach. Spend more time praying. Don't boast in your oratory. Don't boast in your dynamics on the use of your words. Don't boast in your knowledge of Greek and Hebrew Bible. Spend more time praying. Spend more time praying. Spend more time praying. We have a practice in our home, for instance, when we pray sometimes, right? Yeah, there's none of you who we've not prayed for severally. We don't just call you and say, everybody in God's palace will pray. No, we call your names, myself and my wife. We call your names individually and we spend our day to pray for you. We use our prayer devotion time to pray for you. All our prayer time is more for people, not for ourselves. more for people. Have that culture. Mention the members of your cell. Call them, right? Do both, either you're a member or you're a leader in the cell. Pray for all the members in your cell. Pray for all the members in your group, your choir group. Pray for all the members who are serving with you. Pray for all the people who you are training. Pray for the souls you preach to, right? Yeah, you might have preached to one person and the person gave you 30 minutes of their time. Take their name and pray for them. Write that list. Pray for them. Say, I'm dedicating the next 5 minutes of my day to pray for this particular name. Right? And what is the prayer? It's no more than that your eyes of understanding is enlightened. That your eyes of understanding is enlightened. That you see much more. Right? See much more. You understand much more of his light, of his love. Right? Pray for people more. Are you here? Yeah? Pray for people what? More. Pray for people more than you study and you preach to them. Yeah? If you're preaching to someone for 30 minutes, try to take out 1 hour to pray for them. There's always a difference. Yeah? So what we boast on is not in our intellect as a church. What we boast on is not in our intellect as believers. We boast on the power of the supernatural. Are we together? Have you not seen that some people who, for instance, you said something to them a few years ago, 3 years down the line, they said, oh, is that what you were saying? That's the power of prayer. That's where prayer comes in. I've had encounters like that with people. Yeah? Said, you are kind of, all this you are saying is false doctrine. Right? But today they are carrying it on their head as if they are selling second-hand clothes. Right? Yet that's the power of prayer. Say, I believe in the power of prayer.